second season of Travel People. Today, I'm very excited about this first guest. Her name is Miss Amy Fairfield, and we met in Morocco at the American School of Marrakesh, where we both taught, and she still has a notebook and is taking notes there. But let me tell you, this girl has come, she has gone to a lot of other places since I last saw her, and I'm so excited to get to catch up. And Amy, tell them what is in the background.
Okay, so I am in Dubai right now, right in the heart of the Dubai Marina. And as I was telling you just a couple of minutes ago, I don't know if you'll be able to hear it, but the behind one of these buildings, it's actually the Grand Mosque for the marina. So you may be able to hear it because today's Friday. It's Friday night here. And Friday night is a holy day. Friday is always a holy day in a Muslim country. But not only that, it's Eid. So Eid is a 3-day holiday that marks the end of Ramadan in the Muslim culture and in a Muslim country. So it's going to be an extra, like it's all on a Friday. It's always extra loud. So you might be able to hear it when it goes in just a few minutes. But yeah, so we're on holiday. Right now, we've had a few days off of work and school to celebrate the end of Ramadan and Eid. So that's always a cool time here. And our normal work week here in the Middle East is Sunday through Thursday anyway. So we're always off on Friday and Saturday. Nice. So, yeah.
So her apartment is amazing. And she's right there. Any iconic buildings you've ever seen, any pictures you've seen of the marina, the Persian Gulf are just right outside.
Right here. If you look right out this way, I'm not going to try to show you because you can't see it very well because it's night and with the glare, but the wheel, the Dubai, the Ain Dubai is right outside. And so is what we call the Persian Gulf. So I look out over the sea. You can't, like I said, it's night. You can't see it right now, but it does have a good view. And I was telling Cindy that I ended up with this place because it was sitting empty during lockdown. So the UAE locked down really early last year, the end of March. We had mandatory masks and we still have that now. You have to wear a mask to go outside, but they went really early. And for about 2 months last spring, you had to apply for a permit to leave your house. You couldn't go anywhere and that kind of thing. So a lot of apartments all over Dubai, probably all over the region, were sitting empty. And I have a friend that lives in this building. She lives upstairs and she saw it on Property Finder or something. And she was like, oh, this place is empty. And she came down, it was open because Dubai is really, really safe. People don't always lock their doors. Like we were just looking at a couple of apartments in this building that are 2 bedrooms. Last night, I'm in a 1-bed. You can just go in and look around. So she came in and took some videos. And like I said, this place was sitting empty during lockdown, which is how otherwise I probably wouldn't have been able to afford an apartment with this kind of view. But that was one positive of the pandemic last year, for sure.
Just the view, even not just from the balcony and not just where she is now, but even her bedroom. It's like something you see in a movie. It really is.
Yeah, you can see the boats that go by and the marina and that sort of thing. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, Amy, you know, I think we might have been the only, at least when I was there, maybe the only Southern teachers from the U.S. You know, she's from Virginia, and I'm was born in Kentucky, and now I'm based, you know, have lived in Tennessee for a very long time. And yeah, this, I don't know about you, but this is, you know, the experiences that we've both had as international teachers. I would have never dreamed when I was a kid.
No, not myself either. And I think we were, like, a lot of our colleagues were American, but I think you and myself were the 2 Southern girls. And it is always nice, like, it's nice to meet people as you do doing this from all over the world and all over the place. But like someone that's from your region and area, you just, you know, you've had that shared kind of mindset growing up. So I'm from Stanton, Virginia, and my parents still live there and that kind of thing. And yeah, there's some places I've been. It's still, and I think one trip, Cindy, that sticks out to me, you were actually on, by coincidence, is when Some of us went, when we lived in Morocco, we went to the Sahara Desert. And still sometimes I think, and I know a lot of people go there and it's popular, like some people live there, but just to kind of pause and think, like, I've been to the Sahara Desert. And Cindy, I was talking to her earlier, she has a little vial of sand behind her. It's on the other side. And I was like, hang on, let me go get mine. I have exactly the same thing. So Cindy and I and some of our other colleagues and friends ended up on the same. I think mine had a little poofy thing and over, like, this is its third country that it's lived in. So yeah, it fell off. And I think it's at least its fifth apartment it's lived in. So I lost that long ago. But we ended up on the same Sahara Desert trip, yeah. Which is just an experience you don't forget and things you never thought you would see. And, you know, ornery camels and the whole lot. So
we were fun folks. A friend from Spain was visiting and we had booked this trip. And then as we were trying to find the van, because we met, I think, in the Medina, and we were looking for the van, and we hear Cindy. And I look and some of the girls were there. And I always, you know, I'm writing a book about those 2 years, and I always refer to them by name, but also as the girls, because they were young and they were just fun and so inclusive and showed me they had been there before me and just showed me kind of the ropes and what people do and where they go in Marrakesh. And that was an amazing journey. I've got pictures of us, on camels. And like you said,
Well, and that was, I think it's no secret that I was not a fan of the camel. Like the whole time we go, so you go into the desert, like you mount this camel. And if you've ever seen a camel trying to like get up and down, like it gets parallel. And actually there's a few, like they're right out here, but there's resorts right here along my view that sit on the beach. So I now see camels from my window and the poor things sit on the beach. But if you've ever watched a camel get up, it gets completely parallel to the ground and then gets down. And when you're on the camel, your whole body is going like this and it goes downhill, like you're going downhill too. So I did not love it. So I think the next morning when they said, oh, I don't know what had happened to the camels overnight, but they were two camels down the next morning. And they said, does anybody want to ride the four-wheeler, you know, back to the camp? And I think I was the first person that was like, I will. And, you know, you guys left on your camels. And I kind of thought, I was like, oh, you know, am I really chickening out? Am I missing out on this? But actually in hindsight, I think the picture that I sent you of this, because we had to wait for the four-wheeler to come and get us. And that ended up being really fun too. But I got some, your friend was with me from Spain. We really got some alone, quiet time in the desert and the sun came up. Yeah. So some of my best memories of that trip were because I chickened out getting on the camel again. I got to watch the sunrise and like you could see where like they marked the border of Algeria just beyond and like a scarab beetle came out and went by and I got some of my like best pictures I've ever taken because I just sat there, like we just sat there and watched the sun come up and really soaked it in. So, you know, that was one time chickening out worked out for me.
Amazing. But, you know, it's funny you mentioned a scarab beetle because, you know, anything about the desert, and of course it's supposed to be Egypt, I think, in the movie The Mummy, but The Mummy and The Mummy 2, I just watch those again because they were filmed in Morocco and they were and we got to go on that trip to the Atlas Studios and we saw, and it wasn't, I mean, not just those, and again, those beetles are in that, both of those movies, but just so many movies were filmed there.
A lot of them were, ones you don't expect and like some older ones were as well. So a lot of times when you see Egypt or anywhere else, it's supposed to be the Middle East. And I can't think of the titles of them now, but I'll watch movies now and I'll be like, that's Morocco. And so I Google it and I get on IMDb and I'm like, that's Morocco.
Me too. I think it was the first Jack Ryan, maybe the pilot was, I kept going, that's Morocco. That's wherever it was supposed to be. But our school was on the road that leads to the Atlas Mountains and to the Atlas Studio and all of that. So
you could see it from school, and we would be up in the morning, like having a coffee in this gorgeous view of the Atlas Mountains. And yeah, some definitely good memories of ASM in Morocco. Yeah, I couldn't. And someone asked me, I had lunch with a friend today. She was asking me, oh, what are you going to say today? Like what, you know, what sticks out in your mind? And I did tell her a bit about Morocco. And I said, you know, at the point when I decided to do that, looking back now, I can't imagine my life without that experience. Like it was just something that I needed to do. Because I had had, you know, international teaching is something I'd had in my mind. So I'll give you a little bit of, this is one thing Cindy had asked me about. I'll give you a little bit of my background. I was a French teacher in the Washington, D.C. area for 11 years. That is called Osborne Park High School. So go Jackets. And it was lovely. Like it was a great school. I had great friends. I had a nice job there, but had always kind of felt like I wasn't quite done with that and didn't know if I wanted to be there another 11 years. So joined Search Associates, which I would recommend if you're looking to do international teaching, and had gone to a job fair in Boston that year and had had some other more lucrative job offers, but really wanted to go to a French speaking country. Had always wanted to go to Africa. And then, you know, it's a long story, but then ended up at ASM. And I just at that time in my life was the right fit for me and was a truly like authentic culture experience, really, really exotic and the whole thing, which is different a little bit than Dubai. Dubai's great, but if you want real culture, like the authentic experience, it's definitely Morocco.
Yeah. We were talking about that before we started this interview that, so when I got the offer to Morocco, I also got one to Dubai. Actually, I got that one just maybe a week before. Okay. And really thought I was probably going to do that. I also got one to Bolivia. And so those would have been three very different lives. But, you know, in the end, that's exactly why I went to Morocco. I felt like the history, the color, there are just so many things there. And I think it's funny, those of us that were there together are spread literally all over the world now.
We are.
But we still, even no matter how frustrated in every place you live is going to have its frustrations, you know, but we all look back and so I think fondly and just think, wow, what would our lives have been if we never had that? So,
yeah, exactly. Like that's what I think too, out of all the experiences as Morocco, I look back, what, you know, and that really has been the jumping point to the other places I've now been and the people, like I'm still in contact with a core group. Cindy and I have a mutual friend named Erin that lives across the street from me. So that's really cool to get to see her. Yeah. But this is one thing Cindy had asked me about, since this is a travel podcast, let me tell you a little bit about Dubai. Obviously I live right here in the marina. So it's quite a distance from my work. I work about 30 minutes from here, but then once I get home on the weekends in the evening, I can just park my car and walk anywhere I want to be. The beach is right here. My gym is right here. You know, bars, restaurants, et cetera, et cetera. Or I can take a taxi really, really, really easily. Uber, like the Uber guys sit right out here and I just push a magic button and they come to get me. And I do that a lot. It gets hot. Like it's starting, what is it, May 14? It's starting to kind of turn the corner from normal hot to blazing. And when you do that, like it is too hot to be outside for any length of time, really. And it does people, there's a misconception that here, like it's hot, but it's really dry. And that's not true. It's humid here too. So it's like opening a door to an oven. You get used to it. You do definitely get used to it, but it literally is like an oven.
How high does the heat or the dim?
Right now, average daily temperature is about 100 Fahrenheit. And in the summer, it's about for July and August, end of June, July and August, it's anywhere from 115, 120 Fahrenheit, like some days this summer. Because I was here, I couldn't go home last summer because of COVID, obviously. And I also had knee surgery here, which I thought that would be a great time to get my knee surgery out of the way when I can't really travel anyway. But sometimes when I would be around this summer for my knee surgery, it would be like 125, 126. Oh, like it gets really, really hot here. But it's gorgeous. Like during the winter months from like end of October to March and then even into April, it's just beautiful and just crystal clear weather and really, really a nice place to be. But in the summer, it gets a little nasty.
Yeah, the pictures so, you do a lot of pool days like we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and if you're watching this, thinking about what kind of things can I do in Dubai? I mean, there's obvious, like Dubai, it's pretty easy since it's such a tourist destination. It's really easy to quickly figure out what to do here, like your must do's. You have to go up the Burj Khalifa, of course, Burj Al Arab. Then there's the souk, which is the marketplace. Like there's the souk Madinat, which is by the Burj Al Arab. I had lunch there with a friend earlier today. There's another souk Al Bahar that's next to the Burj Khalifa. And then there's like the more like traditional, like the old Dubai, but I'll give you a little hint. Nothing in Dubai is old.
That's what I was
It's only say. 50 years old. And this souk is not even that old, but it's called Al Steef. And it is nice to go and look around and like there's little boats and there's like a marketplace. But I was sort of probably unnecessarily snotty about that because in Morocco, I'm like, well, we have the real marketplaces there, but it is still like really, really nice to go and look around. And especially if you haven't traveled to this part of the world, it's definitely a must see. But yeah, and like, so Cindy said, that's another thing. Like if you live here or if you're traveling here, like a must do is a pool day. And there's all kinds of like at your doorstep, there'll be all kinds of options for about between $30 and $50, probably all inclusive. It'll be a really nice pool. You can get food and drink and it's just a nice way to spend an afternoon, like with your partner, with your girlfriends, or even by yourself if you just want to go and relax. So that's a really popular thing to do here. I know this sounds ridiculous, but must-dos in Dubai, there's a couple of really nice malls. And before I moved here, I was always like, I'm not moving there. I don't want to go to the mall. but they are really nice. And you do end up caving and going to the mall because they have like, there's things to do in them. There's like movies and skiing, like there's a ski slope in the Mall of the Emirates and there's an aquarium in the Dubai Mall. So you do end up going to the mall and they are really, really nice. Like they've done them up nice, but you have to bear in mind, like, it's not just like in the 90s when you went, you know, and you got your Annie's pretzel and went to, you know, Claire's or whatever, but it's so hot outside. It is a nice option to do and go and have a little look around. So those are some things that I would definitely recommend. If you're looking to travel to Dubai, another thing, once the world kind of gets back to normal that I have some pictures of that you guys may be able to see here is to do a drive. I would highly recommend doing a drive to Oman. The Omani border is just about 2 hours away. And it's really interesting to see what the landscape looks like when you get just outside of Dubai. I mean, like you can see the buildings behind me. So it's really, really urban, but not even if you go straight out with no traffic, not even 10 or 15 minutes, like you're in the desert. So it is really interesting when you do a drive, especially going to Oman to see what the natural landscape looks like. And you will drive and see like camels in their natural habitat on the side of the road. For spring break, I have pictures of this too. I went about an hour away to a resort and just on the little service road to get into the resort, there were like camels and like a camel guy and they're in the pictures coming through. And we took a little video of them. So that's really interesting. But then you go on, it's called a dhow boat. And it's a traditional boat from this region. And they used them to do the pearl diving in the past. Like that was one of the main, one of their main sources of income and a big part of their economy just until up about less than 100 years ago was pearl diving. So they would use these dhow boats to go out and get the pearls, but you can go on them now And again, I think you'll see the pictures, but it's just gorgeous clear water in the Gulf of Oman there. And you go out and you can go snorkeling and kayaking and swimming. And we saw dolphins and a whale shark. And it's just a fun, I've done it twice now. You stay overnight on the boat and they cook for you. And it's like, you don't have self-service and it's just completely peaceful. And you know, the stars come out and we saw the phytoplankton. Like I woke up in the middle of the night with two of my colleagues and like, we could see that the phytoplankton, like the bioluminescence was in the water. So I'd eaten a banana. And I was like, are we going to be littering if I throw this banana in? And they were like, no, no, it's natural. It's natural. Throw the banana in. So I threw the banana in and it was like a movie. It was like, and this bioluminescence, like a science fiction movie, like went everywhere. And then we were like, oh my God, throw a cookie. And we like got a couple of other pieces of fruit because we didn't want to litter, but we were like, throw it in. And you could see that. So yeah, that's definitely a must do. Going down to Abu Dhabi, you have to go to the Grand Mosque if you visit.
I was about to ask about Abu Dhabi because we had other colleagues that ended up moving there and teaching. Did you ever see them?
I do. So you just saw one of the lights in the building come on behind me.
Yeah.
Our friend Liz lives in Abu Dhabi. And we have some other Richard and Louise.
Yeah.
They're having a baby. I don't know if you saw that. The news. Yeah. That live in Abu Dhabi. So that's about an hour and a half away. That right now is locked down might not be the word anymore, but Abu Dhabi, entrance into Abu Dhabi is more restricted than Dubai is right now. So you have to have a PCR test and an app on your phone that has your recorded results from your PCR test. And there's a window within, you know, the results that you have to go in and out of Abu Dhabi. So hopefully those restrictions will lift at some point. But Abu Dhabi is really interesting to visit. The Grand Mosque is really, really cool. Just 10 minutes from the Grand Mosque, there's the mangroves. So you can go through the mangroves, which is a natural park, and you can kayak, or they've built a little park around them, and that's really cool. And it's just cool to see a different kind of, like, Abu Dhabi definitely has a different vibe than Dubai does. Dubai's kind of flashy, and Abu Dhabi's the capital. It's more business. The embassies are there, of course, but interesting to visit. And so pictures you might see are, my friend Liz got married there about a month ago. And so that's the desert right outside of Abu Dhabi, which was beautiful. Wow. It would probably be too hot to do that now, but that was the 4th of April. So, and she met her husband. She traveled to Egypt last year for spring break at the beginning of March and got stuck there and couldn't come back. And then ended up meeting her husband when she was locked down in Egypt.
Wow. That's a story.
I'll let her tell that story. But
that is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely guy.
So you didn't get to go home last summer. So you stayed. Yeah. Did you have the option to go, or you just wanted to stay?
I could have technically gone. The UK, most of the people I work with are from Ireland or Scotland, England, so the UK. And so they have had more like cut and dry restrictions than we have. I could have gone last summer if I wanted to, but everything at that point when I would have had to have made the decision last spring to go was very, very uncertain. And I wasn't sure. And I kind of had to decide, okay, am I going to get this knee done or not? And it just seemed like a good time because at any point, like I said, for a lot of last spring, we were completely locked down and couldn't even go to the supermarket. So traveling international was going to be out of the question. So it was really uncertain. So I technically probably could have gone last summer, but didn't look good. And I think it would have been really stressful. Are they going to close the border? What kind of restrictions? Because I did go home at Christmas and I ended up having to come back early just with the timing of because you have to have a negative test or get tested at the airport and this and that. And just with the timing of that, I ended up having to come back here early. So I was supposed to leave the US on the 27th of December and I ended up leaving the US on the 23rd. So I was technically back here on Christmas.
Have most people gotten the vaccine there? Is it available?
Yes. It is. They've really been good about getting the vaccine and making it available. And I think it's easily more than 50% of the adult population has been vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And it may be something more like, I mean, it's pretty high. So I've been vaccinated. I had the Pfizer vaccine. Schools provided the vaccine. It's obviously not at cost for people, but a large percentage of the adult population here has been vaccinated, because most people here are expats, whether they're Western expats, teachers, marketing, businesses, or there's a lot of laborers here that are from Pakistan, Afghanistan, India. And that's been a big thing here lately, is a lot of these, a lot of the laborers are from India or Bangladesh or Pakistan, and their numbers have been so high and they've cut off travel from those places.
Right.
Yeah, so that, but I've been vaccinated. I also had COVID. I got it. I'm pretty sure I got it on New Year's Eve. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did you do okay with it? I mean,
yeah, I did okay. Like, I was sick, but I did, like, I think I got off easy. Yeah.
You've done a lot of travel now on that side of the world. I know when we were in Morocco, that was the first thing I noticed, is when I met all the teachers that had been there. You know, they are talking about, you know, the best deal on Ryanair, the best deal on EasyJet. And it was almost like you know, bookies, you know, like, you know, here's a tip, you know, and everybody would watch. And like I've said before, we would get deals sometimes for, you know, $50 round trip,
yeah,
which to go, you know, somewhere in Europe. So, and I know before we get to all the other places you've been, when you were there, I think you girls were going to a lot of places as well in Europe.
Yeah. So that was one thing that was really cool about living in Morocco, is you got to visit a lot of places, that really cool places in Morocco. Like, and I know you've been there too, like one of the fan faves, if you will, is always Essaouira, yeah, in Morocco, or Agadir. But it was because Marrakesh is a travel hub for most of Europe. It was really, really easy at that time and really cheap at that time to go back and forth to Spain, France, Italy, Ireland, UK. So all of those places I've mentioned, I have been. Netherlands,
yeah,
I have been to when I lived in Morocco. And like Cindy said, like, you watch the deals on EasyJet, on Ryanair. And it was hard not to... It was hard not to go, because your round trip to somewhere like Barcelona, or we went to Lisbon as well, like for $100. And it definitely became, I mean, I won't say it wasn't to the point where it was addictive, but it was fun and easy.
It was pretty close.
Great. It was really hard not to go. And if you're someone that likes to travel, it was hard to say no.
Absolutely.
And then after I lived in Marrakesh, I lived in Hamburg, Germany, and that was pretty much the same. Like, European travel from there was really, really quick and easy. So then went to all over Western Europe, really. But I think one of my favorite stories from Hamburg, traveling within Europe, my friend, I think it was a Wednesday afternoon, my friend Shannon kind of, you know, at the end of school, like, bounced into my classroom. She was like, I was like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? She was like, oh, I'm going to Lisbon. I'm going for MYP training. So we did the IB program. So MYP is the middle, like 6 through 10, and then DP is 11 and 12. And the International School of Hamburg was really, really good about providing professional development for you. So you could go, you know, you'd pick a workshop, and you still had to go and work and attend these workshops, but you'd pick a workshop you needed to go to. And then school basically would pay for your weekend in Barcelona or Berlin or wherever. So Shannon happened to be going on a training in Lisbon. She was like, well, I have my room. You should come along. And obviously she would be busy during the day, but I was like, ooh, let me see about these flights. And there was a flight, I think it was 120 euro or something, from Hamburg to Lisbon. And I was like, I could do that. And of course I shared a room with her, but by 3:15, like on a whim, I was like, oh, I guess I'll go to Lisbon this weekend. Why not?
Yeah. It was that easy. Yeah. I was love that. So tell us now, since you've been in Dubai, you've been traveling east. So tell us where all.
Please join me for part two of this interview with Amy Fairfield, international teacher, when she'll be taking us to countries eastward. Also, if you haven't subscribed to Travel People on this YouTube channel, please do so. And if you'd like the audio version that you can listen to this summer, if you're taking a road trip, commuting to work, or at the pool. Also, in the show notes will be links to my blog, southerngirlgoneglobal.com, where you'll get more information about some of the topics that we discuss here. Until we meet again, take care and happy travels. Thank you.